Hello and welcome to another episode of 10,000 Hours. I'm one of your hosts, Grant Spanier.
I'm your other host, Vince Cauchy.
And today we talked with Dean, Dorothy, and Johnny from MAPCHA, a really cool company that is spreading stories and is kind of living their mission. And it's a startup, and they have so many insights, and they're just doing cool shit, which I can appreciate.
And doing it all over the world.
Yeah, which is incredible. And I think that was what led us to our topic, which was personal cartography.
Yeah, exactly. These guys were the perfect people to talk to that about, I guess. It's core to their personal mission, and it's something that they had a lot to say about. Basically, personal cartography is our journey, our creative journey. And how do we tell it? And how do we use telling it to inspire and motivate and enable others to tell their own stories?
Yeah, and they had some good stories. And it was a very lively episode because I think it was new record for 10,000 hours. We had five people total.
Yes, five people on the mic. It was, but you know what? It was surprisingly not hectic whatsoever.
It wasn't. It was aggressive, but I think it was reasonable.
You guys can be the judge, though.
Yeah.
Tweet us.
Give us some feedback.
Tell us what you thought of five people on the show.
Was five good? Do you want to? Should we go for six? Should we go for seven? Yeah. And I would like to thank this episode's sponsor, the wonderful product known as Text Expander. I use it, of course, you know, Vince, for my computer, for my Mac, but I also use it for my phone, and especially right now. So there's this app, the phone iteration of that is Text Expander Touch. And what Text Expander does is it saves you time, effort, it expands these short abbreviations into these frequently used little canned things. So for me, that's a lot of invites, that's maybe email signatures or specific emails that I send out. It's a variety of things like that. It just saves me time. It gets just like a lot of the other products we love, it just gets something I don't want to do out of the way, and it's beautiful. And especially now, I love is they have a custom keyboard for iOS 8,
yes.
Which I'm sure you've upgraded to, right, Vince?
Sure have.
It's great, and love it for iOS, and it's so nice. So I would definitely recommend checking that out. You can get a free trial. If you don't like it, you don't have to keep using it, but I can practically guarantee you will if you're anyone who's about efficiency.
It'd be weird if you didn't like it after trying it.
And it would actually let me know if you don't, because I might want to reconsider our relationship. I kid. But check that out at smallsoftware.com/10khrs. You can read some more about it and download a free trial.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Smile Software, for your sponsorship of this episode. And thank you guys for listening. This is episode 33, Personal Cartography.
And you're in Switzerland?
Yes, Lucane.
Lovely.
Wow, jealous.
I want to hear a bit about it.
I feel like that's very British.
I feel like he's mocking us.
Vinny? Oh, poor Vinny. Do you want to tell me what you're working on?
Yeah, absolutely, Grant. So as you can hear, I'm recovering from a cold.
Old man Vinny, you sound like a 70-year-old grandmother.
But I'm a little under the weather, so I'll keep it quick. I have been writing the copy for my new personal website, which Grant is graciously helping me design. It looks great. I can't wait to get it live. But you need some words on it if you're a writer. So that's what I've been working on, Grant.
It'd be a bold move to have a wordless copywriter website, I would think.
Yeah, a bold move, and I'll never get another job again.
Well.
Grant, what are you putting your time into lately?
Just kind of jamming. It's been cool. Not necessarily what I've been putting my time into, but I have put a minimal amount of time of just watching some of the reaction to that Vasky video that we dropped, which is exciting, getting quite a response from that. And besides that, just some branding projects, some interface stuff, just kind of wrapping up some of those things and gearing up for the next stage of stuff.
Busy
the next
as
wave
usual.
Of projects. Yep. Yeah. But there's no good segue there. Speaking of things and busyness, our guest today, I think Is this a record? Will this be a record for us?
Yeah, this is a new record. People on the show at one
total
time.
Number of people on the show, 5.
Yes.
Wow, this is exciting. This is a landmark episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I'm going to just introduce you guys. How do you pronounce it? Is it Mapcha?
Or Maptia. Yeah.
Maptia.
Either is good.
Oh, wow. Okay. It's flexible. Cool. That's very cool. So yeah, so that was Dorothy. We have Dorothy, Dean, and Johnny from Maptia.
Thanks for joining us, guys.
And you guys are all from the UK originally, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're all from the UK. I'm from London, Dorothy's from Somerset in the southwest, and Dean's from up north in Yorkshire.
Awesome.
Keeping our streak of like solid accents, we've had quite a few
good
accents on the show.
Dare I say, this might be the best yet.
Well, we attribute a lot of our success to the fact that we have British accents.
Yeah.
And the fact that we managed to get into a US accelerator program, we put that all down to
that work.
Accent.
Yeah, I mean, because you guys were in Techstars, right?
Yeah, we were at the end of 2012.
What city was that in?
Up in Seattle.
Oh, I'm actually going there next week. I'm very excited. First time, never been.
Very cool. And where are you guys joining us from today?
Today we are in Locarno in Switzerland. This is Dean. I'm actually originally Swiss. Wow. I grew up in England, so that's why they say I come from the north of England and why I have a British accent. But my family is entirely Swiss. So my dad lives here in Locarno, and we kind of commandeered his house along with his office space to HQ Maptia for a while.
Sweet move.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a pretty good move from the company's point of view. Yeah.
Cool. Great. Well, without further ado, may I do the honors? Well, I probably shouldn't.
Go for it.
I'm going to anyway. What have you guys been putting your time into recently?
Who wants to start? As a team, we've been working insanely hard on version 2 of Maptia. Basically, we've had a beta version of Maptia up for about a year now. Mm-hmm. And we've been working with a small community of storytellers, and we've been basically getting feedback. I mean, we haven't really introduced Maptia properly yet, so we'll get into that, I guess, first. Mm-hmm. This is what we work on. Somebody else wants
to. Do you just want to give us a bit of an overview or tell us a little bit more about it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, Maptia is a storytelling platform at its heart, and it's for photographers, writers, storytellers, all of whom, you know, share a passion for travel, for, you know, caring for the environment as well. That's something we, you know, focus on a lot. And I think that, you know, we focus on stories that are going to foster empathy and understanding between different cultures and across continents. And that's one of the things that, you know, one of the sort of philosophies we have behind Maptia, this idea that storytelling is something that breaks down boundaries and it helps us sort of see the world from perspectives other than our own. So that's, you know, those are the types of stories we explore on Maptia. And so we've spent, you know, as Dean mentioned, the last sort of 12 months working with this wonderful community of founding storytellers, ranging from sort of some National Geographic photographers to some travel bloggers, you know, all of them with their own perspective and their own story to tell, and been working with them to really learn what kind of tools we can provide for them that will not only help them to build a really supportive and engaged community, but will also allow them to publish their work in a much more meaningful way. That's sort of a little bit about Maptia. Yeah.
I think that's a good chance to introduce the topic and sort of the lens we're looking at your story and this episode through, which is personal cartography. Sort of the idea that we all have our own little map, we all have our own stories, and it's getting at exactly what you guys are talking about there, which is the power of those stories and even our own responsibility to create those stories and to map out our own journey, which I think what you guys are doing is really interesting, because you're building this platform, and at the same time, it seems like you guys are traveling, you are creating your own stories, and you are telling your own story. So I guess, could you guys tell me a little bit about what sort of stories people are sharing or what sort of things people are mapping out so far?
Sure. Johnny, do you want to?
Sure. Yeah. Well, we've had quite a few, like a big variety of stories so far. It started off with just mostly kind of focused on travel and adventure. But recently we've had some kind of photojournalism pieces, some really great micro-adventure stories from another British guy. He's basically been trying to inspire people to appreciate the outdoors. And we've had stories from, I think, 120... Around 120 countries around the world. And we're just kind of trying to get this big perspective and let people explore the world through their own lenses. So say I'm interested in surfing, and so I can kind of see these places through the lens of what I'm interested in. So I can go to Morocco and kind of see surf stories from Morocco.
And you guys were in Morocco for a while, right?
Funnily enough, yeah, we were. Guess who was responsible for that? we were in. So maybe just briefly, we can sort of, tell your listeners where we've been.
Yeah,
so
please
We met a university in Durham. And, you know, at that point, we hadn't even heard the terms. College. Sorry.
American college.
School. So you guys say school, not university, right?
Well, sometimes. Yeah, sometimes.
Anyway, so we met there, and you know, we didn't even know what the term startup even meant. We'd all traveled, and we had this idea that, you know, traveling was probably, to some extent, we thought, you know, the solution to the world's problems, which obviously, you know, rather naive, but, you know, we'd benefited so much from backpacking in South America and Southeast Asia, and just, you know, it gave us a different perspective, made us more appreciative of other cultures, mm-hmm. you know, it made empathy with other people and other ways of life easier. Mm-hmm. And so Johnny and I had been running a small student travel magazine, and we just thought, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could put everything that a traveler needs on a map? So we had, it wasn't very ambitious, as you can see.
Insanely naive.
Yeah, and so while Dean and I were couch surfing in South America, in Buenos Aires, and we heard about a program run by the Chilean government called Startup Chile. Mm-hmm. And they offered a grant, no strings attached, to go and move to Chile and to build your business and sort of, you know, work on your idea. And we thought this sounded way too good to be true. Yeah. But we applied, and somehow, despite our complete lack of experience, we managed to get in. And so that's where, you know,
this journey...
It was those accents,
probably.
Yeah. I think maybe it was.
Words protect us, definitely.
So that's really where it all began. And we set off and spent about 6 months in Chile, and, you know, Dean, you know, you sort of ended up knee deep in JavaScript and coding, and none of us had written a line of
code. This is all of our first experience of doing any of the things that we now do for 12 hours a day. So we were kind of arrived there surrounded by people all kind of with big ideas, trying to get things off the ground, really early stage. And we just kind of looked around, we're like, oh, we're probably going to have to write some code at some point and do some marketing and maybe some design. So we all kind of set off on these individual paths where we started to learn our own skills, which we now effectively run that as part of the company.
That's exciting. What are those roles? I mean, you mentioned them, but you're each individual role?
Yeah, so I am the CTO. I do all the development at Maptier. Johnny is head of marketing and community. And Dorothy does design, and she's also CEO. She does all the finance, she does all the admin, she does all the partnerships. List is quite extensive.
I like to hear that, though, from a design perspective. I like that not only does design have a seat in the C-suite, it is the lead of the company.
Yeah, absolutely.
So hell yeah.
Those pixels are, you know, they dominate our decisions.
Her nickname is the Pixel Police.
Pixel Police.
I love it.
Yeah, we all, you know, we kind of naturally fell into these roles, and one of the, you know, most rewarding things that we've found from the point of view of being startup founders is that because there were three of us, and, you know, perhaps it was just sort of happy accident, but each of us have really, you know, been sort of natural at each of the roles we've taken on. Like, I don't think I would, you know, I'm not about to dive into code. I would get far too impatient, and I don't have the logical brain.
Secretly, she does a bit of coding,
She lies. But what's been wonderful is that just between the three of us, we've been able to, you know, we haven't had to outsource anything, and it has really given us the space and time. And to some extent, I suppose, the sort of creative control to bring the vision that we've had for Maptier. And that vision has changed a lot over the last 3 years since we, you know, set out naive and wide-eyed and optimistic from university. But, you know, it's been really great being able to share that as co-founders and to be able to keep everything in-house. So we, I guess, yeah, we were in Chile and then...
Then Seattle for Techstars.
That was, yeah, time of chaos and highly strong emotions.
Yeah, very intense time.
Well, so where was the product at or the company or the idea at that point? And how long have you been... Because you were in Chile for how long?
About
6 months.
Six, seven months, maybe.
Yeah. But given that we started with a completely clean slate, I mean, we had... As far as the idea was concerned, it was almost a clean slate. Like we say, we wanted everything on a map.
You wanted a map.
Blogs, yeah. Photos, so airlines. It's
basically Google Maps.
Yeah, we realized you needed to be
Which
Google.
Which is a brilliant idea.
It is quite a good idea. Yeah.
It was like Pinterest cross Google on a map. And
But we managed to kind of whittle that down to one slightly more core idea by the time the 7 months were over. And so when we pitched Techstars, it was still incredibly early stage.
It was prototype
stage. As far as
product
was concerned, we had a few bits and pieces of product that we'd built. Obviously, I had only been coding for 6 months, so that kind of limits what you can build.
But you had a prototype. I mean,
it was a prototype. Yeah, it was also completely
it
nuts.
Pretty good,
but it was good.
Yeah,
so
at this point,
extremely early
a,
is the answer. Extremely
we had
early.
A we had a world. Feel made of hexagons and you could zoom in and on any level you could explore a place and you could keep zooming in and seeing all these new things in all these different
endless
places.
Endless layers of hexagons.
Yeah, it's a little bit trippy. So.
Cool.
we had this map, but you know, our philosophies were the same. The fact that we felt that travel was important and sharing stories was important.
Yeah, that's
so
kind of stay consistent.
Techstars was, you know, we experienced a lot of what, you know, the founders from that those sort of programs like to refer to as mentor whiplash, which was, you know, the fact that we were getting so many different opinions and ideas coming at us. And from our point of view, they were from people who were much more experienced and, you know, had worked at Google or Amazon or
they
Apple.
Would know, right?
Yeah, they would know, you would think. Yeah, anyway,
of course.
So, yeah, and so we were frantically trying to sort of process all this feedback and please every, you know, mentor.
Take all of their boxes.
Exactly. And so, you know, we did. It was a wonderfully valuable program and we learned more than we could have done in those 3 months because it was so intensive than we ever would have done in 3 years by ourselves. But at the end of it, we ended up knowing more about what we didn't want to do as opposed to what we did want to do.
Yeah.
And it really served to confirm, you know, certain core beliefs that we had, that we didn't want to build a company just with the aim of making money, that we wanted to build it with the mission and the purpose and the philosophies first. Like, we wanted to put heart into what we were building. We didn't want to sell it in 3 years' time.
For sure. Well, I think the benefit of that, too, is something we've talked about on the show and something that seems to be guiding you guys, which is, like, technology and even the products you make, a lot of these things are ephemeral and... They matter, but they don't matter as much as the core, which is what is actually going to drive your decisions, what is actually going to last. And so it sounds like you guys have like been, I mean, you kind of started with a pretty strong core, but then you solidified that. And that does seem to be guiding you guys forward. And I think, you know, from a longevity standpoint with any sort of company, like that's the only thing that like can truly last, especially a technology company.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, this stuff changes.
So
it's impossible.
No, it's true. It's true. And I guess, you know, we think about, you know, in the way that brands or companies or organizations or communities really relate to others is, you know, at the end of the day, it's through emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at, you know, a brand that sells a product, I think that, you know, the point at which they're most inspiring is when their emotional engagement with their consumer or their customer is so deep, so relevant, and so profound that it transcends the functional purpose of the brand.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't want to just be a tool for people to tell stories. We want being part of Maptia to mean something, to mean that you've found a community where you feel at home, you know, a place where you feel like you belong, where there are like-minded individuals who, you know, see the world in a similar way. And yet at the same time, it's also a place to explore all our differences and our similarities. And for us, places are really the canvas on which we think this can sort of be facilitated and this can happen because, you know, places are the one thing we all share. every chapter of our life is sort of played out in, you know, a place, wherever that may be. We've been in Chile, we've been in Seattle, then we're in Morocco, and now we're in Switzerland. And, you know, we have stories from all of those places, but what we're really interested in is those connections. So if you have a story from two different, you know, one from each side of the world, but perhaps they share similar themes or similar emotions. And then if you have two stories that cross in the same place, maybe they're completely different, but, you know, those people can sort of connect with those stories and start seeing places through different lenses or different perspectives. And for us, we just think, you know, the world is hopefully only going to be a little bit of a sort of happier and a better place, and a place where, you know, perhaps we'll take more action and be more understanding of other people and other ways of life, if we can build this encyclopedia of stories. And that's kind of, at the end of the day, how we see Maptia, as this permanent, living and growing encyclopedia of stories from all over the planet, from, you know, from villages, from mountaintops, from, you know, national parks and cities, and bringing these together as a sort of shared record to share, if you like, with the generations to come.
We've certainly been inspired by like the founder of Patagonia, Yvon Chinoa. He, I think when he started it, he wanted it to become a 100-year company. And I think it's so rare to kind of to hear that kind of thing, like in the day when you kind of just build a startup and then, like Dorothy said, just kind of aim to sell it on like a few years later.
Well, no, that's, you know, it's funny when you guys were talking about that stuff. It's very clear that like that is where you guys are coming from. Like that is, it is like you have a very authentic core. It seems just like you're talking about the founder of Patagonia. That company feels authentic and real. I think absolutely, so does what you guys are doing. But I was just thinking about something you guys said earlier about how naive you were thinking, like, no, but you were, what did you say? Said something like, you
we
thought
we still
that,
feel like that.
Well, of course, such is the nature of a startup, right? I mean, I feel like at any point, if you feel like you've figured it out, you're probably like, that's like the moment right before you close the doors, you know?
Right.
But you were talking about like something about changing the world through travel.
Solves all the world's problems.
Yeah, solves all the world's problems. I actually think like there is something as like quote unquote naive as that is.
Yeah.
The truth is, you know, and it says something about you guys that you're couch surfing, right? And I've couch surfed as well. And there is something shared there that seems to be close to the heart of what you guys are doing.
Definitely.
It's like, it says something about someone if they're a part of that community. It's like, you instantly know it is someone who is open-minded. It is someone, and it's become more mainstream with things even like Airbnb, right? Where it's like less maybe bohemian.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely got a touch of that in it, though. Yeah, absolutely.
No, they're always, you know, one of the companies who, as well, they also, you know, have been very design focused. And I think for me, you know, design, it's such a big part of conveying the emotion and authenticity behind what you're doing. And, you know, a lot of the time we found that those companies that do have these authentic cores behind them are often the ones that convey that through design.
I think it's all, Airbnb is a really interesting example because they recently released a new Bello symbol, like a whole campaign around belonging. Uh-huh. And I think that certainly something that we try and do at Maptia is try and enable our community to almost make our mission a shared mission. And I think that's something that Airbnb have done really, really well. They've basically said to the community, look, here's what we believe in. And they've given them ways to share that. Mm-hmm. And that's certainly something that we've tried to kind of focus on.
Yeah,
as well.
No, definitely. I think, you know, if you can empower your community to, you know, sort of embody the mission that you believe in, then you're giving them the tools to, you know, help craft and sort of shape the future of your product. And, you know, we want Maptia to feel very much like a sort of collaborative thing. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, one of the reasons we've worked with so many different photographers and writers. And, you know, we have ambassadors on board now and just trying to make them, you know, empower them to also be the founders of Maptia, because, you know, these stories, they're not something we own, not by any means, you know, they belong to everyone. And that's, you know, what
everyone
we want
is
to enable.
Everyone is at service to the story in the end.
Exactly. Something to say.
It is powerful stuff. And it feels very good. It's very feel-goody stuff. So let me take a step back from the feel-good for just a second and maybe, I know, but, and maybe just talk like, what does that actually mean then from a product standpoint? I know, of course, it's sort of like an evolving thing, and I know you guys are working on another version. So what does that actually look like right now? And I guess what's maybe the shorter term vision for what it actually is and like how you guys fit into that.
So maybe I can talk a little bit about what MapTier looks like right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, everyone who joins MapTier has a beautiful storytelling homepage, which is a place where they can showcase their writing and their photography, you know, also increase their exposure and sort of share their unique lens or perspective on the world, which is something, you know, we were talking about earlier. So at the heart of, you know, MapTier are these individuals with their own stories to share. And so we give each of them, you know, the idea is to give people a home for their stories. And all of the stories on MapTier have a location. So they're all stories about real life. And it could be, you know, somewhere really small. It could be just a set in one building or in one park, but equally it could be a journey across a continent. So we have those storyteller home pages. And then we've built you know, a story editor, which enables everybody, whether they're a designer or, you know, but then, sorry, if they're not, even if they're not a designer or a developer.
Designers aren't allowed though.
Yeah, designers. Yeah. No, they definitely are. So, you know, to enable people to craft these stories. And we have maps integrated into our story layouts. And that's something, you know, we're going to be working more on. That's something kind of in our short-term roadmap to build, to enable people to build custom maps for each of their stories. So whether that's to show a route or, you know, to sort of, I guess, convey the path of
communicate
the story.
The story, right?
Exactly.
So question is, what is the incentive right now for, it's, you're trying to attract storytellers who want to share, you know, their travels or their stories about place. And is that kind of step one?
Yeah.
I think we kind of decided that at the core of everything is going to be the quality of the storytellers and of the stories themselves. Yeah. So we really focused with this version to make sure that people felt really special when they joined, they had their own place to put their stories, and that the stories themselves were really important. And I think the next phase is almost where the maps come in more, because that's where we focus more on how those how this tapestry of stories really gets bound together over the entire
planet. How they interconnect.
At the moment, it's a lot about making sure that every individual story really is told as well as it can be, because that's really important for us, that we do the stories justice.
Exactly. And so, you know, we've also got, so beyond those individual stories, we've done like storytelling themes. So bringing together stories that are sort of on shared topics. We're also introducing place pages at the moment only at the continent level, but we're going to be launching country pages and in the end city pages. And so we're looking for, you know, writers, photographers, videographers as well, who, you know, have perhaps a special love for the country or city where they live, and, you know, seeing whether it's something they'd like to be involved with helping launch this sort of home for the place that they love online. So that's something, you know, we, a lot of our, all of our stories are in the context of place. So that's, you know, one of the main ways we organize them. So by place, and then also by emotion, both through the storytelling themes and also through the community recommends. Our community recommends all of the stories. So we have a group of stories that have been recommended as inspiring or a group as thought-provoking. So we work with a lot of not-for-profits as well to help them with sort of communicating their story, you know, very positive stories, because I think, you know, that's what people respond best to. We tend to feel guilty or shy away if we're sort of presented with stories of despair. So, you know, we've really focused on helping them tell their story and evolve their narrative, I guess, online. So that's another type of person that we've been working with. But so we're going to be launching MapTier 2.0 very shortly after, you know, 6 to 12 months of blood, sweat and tears.
That's exciting.
Well, maybe not the blood part, but...
why are you bleeding?
This is tough.
The other parts are definitely
some
true.
Pretty serious paper cuts going on here.
Pixelated blood.
I guess my question, do you encourage users to interact with one another through the platform? Is there any way that MapTier facilitates sort of an community communication, or is it more just like an intake?
Effectively, yes, we absolutely will be encouraging the community to interact with each other. I think it'll be a really, really important part. And it's something that we definitely will work towards alongside the maps, in that it's a crucial way that the stories tie together is the storytellers and the way that they tie together and the way that their philosophies overlap and the way that they see the world and how those people around them see the world. And it is definitely moving in that direction.
We've thought a lot about sort of focusing on existing communities, so small groups of people who have a shared passion, and trying to, you know, give them a home on Maptia together. So, you know, looking at universities, we've worked with like a university bringing together a class of students who were doing a course on place. That was in Milan. And so that's just one example, but other, you know, sort of communities who we can give them a platform to use together. And so at the moment, you know, you can recommend other storytellers' stories, but it's more meaningful than just, you know, hitting a recommend button. Sure. You give them, like, they can recommend it. How they can tell the storyteller how they enjoyed it by like selecting an emotion. And, you know, we're going to be really soon introducing things like commenting, and hopefully we can think of some really creative ways to make it a little bit more than just comments.
We think that places can actually be a really good way to tie people together, because we love this concept of stories being chained. We have the concept of when one story ends, another story can begin. And if we can find a story that starts in exactly the location, for instance, that another story has ended, you immediately bind to people who originally might not have even known each other or thought about each other at all.
It'll foster all these kind of serendipitous connections which might not have
come. And it's like I mentioned when I was sort of talking at MAPTA in the beginning, these two types of connections, one which is sort of a shared emotion, so regardless of the place, so bringing people together when they've had similar experiences, and then the other is this one Dean was talking about, this connection of place, you know, where one story ends, another begins. And, you know, allowing people to explore, as well as a reader, to explore these stories through that lens and sort of go from one place to another, and follow, you know, their own route in a way. And, you know, there are so many different, I don't know, we kind of think of it as this web of like all these stories connecting all over the world. And a lot of them have roots and sort of go in different directions, and they're all crossing over and linking up. And that's something like we'd love to be able to sort of explore and dive into, because, and let people connect on an individual level with other storytellers in that way.
Yeah, as we said at the start, a lot of it MAPTA is about encouraging empathy across different cultures and different places. And I think that the fact that we can get so many different cultures kind of in one place, and that those stories have always been what binds those cultures together, and what helps those cultures to interact peacefully, and what helps those cultures to combine in the world. We've always told stories about, you know, our neighborhoods, but that neighborhood has recently become the entire planet. And so I think it's a pretty big hood. What we want to encourage
was that your American accent?
don't get me started.
That was lovely. A couple of things you guys should check out, I think. One is a friend of the show, Corey Etzkorn, has a project called Lat Long Project.
I've seen it. I think you contributed to the story, right?
Vince and I both have written for that, and it does seem sort of aligned very aligned. It's almost like what I would imagine the very, very beta of your platform would be, which is like just a collection of stories in place. We also had, I don't know if you've seen this, but we had Story in Heart, really, really rad company out of Portland, on episode 32.
They've just launched a really, really awesome competition.
Storytelling Parade. Yes, fantastic. But I was also thinking of Path, even just when you guys were talking about some of the actual path, but the emotions too, like reacting. I really like the emoticons. Am I saying that right? that they use on Path. I don't know if you guys have used that app.
Not that much.
Maybe when we're in America.
Only when in
bit,
Seattle. But... Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, just played around with it. Yeah, just reminiscent. Question. What's the weather like there today?
Sadly, it has disintegrated.
We'd love to say it was sunny and beautiful, but it's been stormy and grey and wet and miserable.
We were worried we might even be losing internet this morning in Switzerland because there was so much thunder and lightning. So.
There's something beautiful about a storm, I will say. But it's very fitting that the weather is not so good, because today's off-topic topic is what we do when we're under the weather, as my dear co-host is today.
Bravo, Grant.
Great segue there.
So actually, I think Vince, you're probably you should start us off and just tell me what do you do when you're under the weather, when you're sick, when you're not feeling so hot?
Yeah. So first things first, I set
first
up...
things first on the real
First things first, I try to do as many voice-related activities as possible.
Try and record every podcast.
Yeah. But typically, I will hole up on the couch and watch television and My favorite thing to do is to make a cup of hot cocoa and just try to drink the day away with some warm chocolate.
I feel so sorry for you.
You guys should... I know, I'm a pitiful creature.
I was going to say, if we could overnight it, I'm sure some Swiss chocolate would help, right?
They go a long way, guys.
We have plenty of that here. We've very much enjoyed all the different specialties.
We had a fondue last night.
Yeah. Wow. Very guys. Nice, very nice. But I think the most important thing of all is to be lazy. That's what I like to do when
I'm
sick.
The healing power of laziness.
Exactly. The restorative qualities. What about you, Grant?
There is something actually beautiful. I feel like the most epic movies I've ever seen, or like the times that movies have influenced me the most, is when I'm sick, because it forces me to just lay down and chill out. Because sometimes it forces me to. I'm like classically, like, over busy, not in like, well, in a cliche way, but like not in like a, you know, I fill my schedule up too much sometimes. So it's like one of those times where it's like my phone, or like, you know, like it's like going in the shower, I can't bring my phone in there. So it forces me to just focus on the shower. That's nice. Same with being sick. I just have to like chill out. What about you guys?
Yeah.
Okay.
I bet it's dangerous when one of you gets sick because you're working at close quarters. Now the entire company is sick.
Not since
Morocco. There were a few incidents in Morocco where he was
likely. Johnny once delusion. Tried, well, he succeeded in feeding us cockroach noodles. So we didn't get sick from
this was not on purpose by any means.
Well, it's a classic Team anecdote, that one. Yes.
Is that on your Maptia account? Could I go read that one?
We'll let Dean write about that, because you definitely
were
most
traumatized.
I'm going to
write a recipe. It was delicious.
Still emotionally scarred.
I'm still traumatized. Yeah, I haven't eaten noodles since for fear of finding.
Have you eaten cockroaches since?
Oh God! Those every day. Yeah.
Anyway, what do we do under the weather? Well, I think I always, something I love to do when I was simple is to read. I mean, I read all the time, so many books, especially long books, and I find it really hard to stop.
It's pretty funny when Dorothy's reading, because you can kind of say anything to her or even shout at her.
Dead
it just,
world.
Nothing
I'm in
goes,
another world.
Nothing goes to me.
That's delightful. So,
yeah, I would read, and you know, it's not only something I do if I'm under the weather. If you know I'm struggling,
just a good excuse.
Like psychologically or emotionally, and these guys have to put
different
up with
kind
that.
Of weather. Yeah.
Yeah, different kind of weather.
Emotional storms.
Yeah, emotional storms. We've had some of those. Not between us. We're amazingly, still all
chummy.
Getting on very well. And,
all chummy, yeah.
Yeah, very chummy. Chummy. Word, yeah. Luckily, even after, you know, three years of pretty much living together every single day and working
That's
together
insane.
Every single day.
That's really impressive.
So I attribute it to days. Dean and Johnny are very chilled out, so you know I just have my little panics and like emotional crises, and like
we kind of absorb.
Yeah. I was gonna say, I believe the Skype name that we're calling from is Live to Surf.
You just made that public. That's so embarrassing.
Oh dang it!
But yeah, that's
so funny. That's Johnny. Probably, what a surprise!
If Johnny gets hundreds of requests,
yeah, I was gonna say, here come the listeners.
Yeah, so I love to read, and you know, it's even when we've, you know, at times we've gone through emotional stress, and at the beginning of this year, you know, we kind of nicknamed it our existential hangover from sort of the beginning of 2014, where, you know, we find ourselves, because I think we're trying to do something perhaps, you know, that is a little bit more unconventional, and we're trying sort of, I guess, etch meaning into every aspect of what we do. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's, you know, it becomes so
short.
Easy. Yeah. We fall short, and it's so hard to, you know, believe that, you know, I find it particularly hard to believe that what we're doing is good enough, that we're making enough progress. And this is something I'm always reassured when other people talk about it, because I feel like perhaps I'm not alone, and, you know, we're not alone in feeling this, but you know, if it gets really bad, then I can just dive into a good book and disappear into the, you know, the world of, you know, somewhere else for a few hours.
Didn't you read like all of the Harry Potter's?
I did. That's embarrassing. Why are we repeating embarrassing?
I feel like kindred spirits with you. I'm a hardcore reader. I've read the Harry Potter series like double digit amount of time. No, I'm serious. I'm just not exaggerating.
No, there's something about them which it's such a I don't know, you can just be so absorbed mm-hmm. into this world. And it, for me, you know, J.K. Rowling, she explores so many themes which are, you know, really core to our experience of life and humanity, yes. even though it's through this magical wizard world. And
Maptia. You know, who knew? Maptia is inspired by Harry. Yep. What about anyway, you fellas? So. You guys have anything to add to that?
It's been a while since I've been properly ill, but I kind of...
Man flu.
Yeah, when I'm healthy, I always feel like it could be good to be a little sick for a while, you know? You get to like Vince says, the healing power of laser.
Like a couple of those films.
Oh, it's overrated, I'll tell you that.
It's like a...
We'll send you a vial of his spittle.
That is wrong.
That's pretty foul.
Sorry.
So you've given me a bottled excuse to lay on the sofa and watch the movies.
A gift.
Wow. I think probably I'm more worried about the laptop getting ill.
It's true. Because something happened to...
Because I can kind of carry on coding. I've got a great horizontal coding position that I adopt sometimes when I'm feeling lazy.
Oh, yeah. I've been there.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So that's can kind of get by if I'm a bit ill. But if my laptop dies... The entire company has problems. So
yeah,
we've had some living in Morocco. That was even more of a case
because you
just cannot get the Mac assistance you need when
the Apple Store Morocco.
Fishing village in Morocco.
Even in Chile, like when we were there, that was like years ago. That was quite difficult.
We had an emergency hard drive flown out.
I just posted on Facebook. Like, does anyone want fancy coming out to Morocco? And a couple of hours later, one of my friends from uni just posted. He was like, yeah, sure.
Oh my gosh. Wow. That's incredible.
He's kind of like chilled out and worked with us for a week, and we've talked about, you know, we've worked in these different places and we'd love to one day do a kind of event or like get together where loads of people come over somewhere like that and we just all kind of chill out or not work very hard.
No, that's fun. I've seen friends in Vietnam who are part of a pretty like thriving startup community out there, a lot of co-working.
Is that in Saigon?
Yes,
in South?
Yes. Yeah, it sounds pretty cool. I want to check that out. It reminded me when I was your laptop dying, I was doing that project. I think, Vince, I've told you this story before, on the Seth Godin project, like a little over a year ago last summer. And it was like in the middle of the first week, and I was designing all the interfaces for this product. Mm-hmm. And my laptop like died on like a Thursday, and I started like crying. It was like there was so much on there, and I'd put like, you know, like a good like 50 hours in 3 days into this project, and I was just like
devastating.
I think that happened to us sometime in Chile, and
we've learned a few things the hard way.
Learned the hard way.
I was just thinking, you said you've learned things the hard way. I don't know if you're familiar with Frank Camaro's talk, like do things the long stupid
hard. It feels like he's talking about us. We just make it really difficult for ourselves by, you know, I don't know, we want everything to be authentic and we don't want to compromise on the integrity of, you know, the platform.
But sometimes you gotta ship it. Okay, so there are some delightful things discussed in the Under the Weather talk, things that I think we'll carry with us, and I hope we all get sick together soon. If next time I'm sick, we should Skype, guys, properly. We like to wrap up the show and sort of head into the final phase here together with two things. And so we have two questions for you. And the first question is, how can our listeners support you? Whether that's going somewhere to a link, whether that's doing something, taking some sort of action. What can they do to support the MAPCHA team? And number two is, if you could leave us with sort of one encapsulated idea or one thought that people can take away from this, what would you like our listeners to take away? And please, you know, if you guys need to prep, if you need to pause and just think about that, there's three voices. That's tough.
It's hard to coordinate.
We're looking at each other.
Okay, Jody, how they can help us.
You can find us on maps.com, which will hopefully be launched when you're listening to this. And you can
maps.com?
Oh,
I think you said maps.com. I was like, wow, you guys have maps.com? That must be...
Spell it out.
MAPTIA.com.
Okay, cool. Perfect. Thank you.
And you can also drop us a tweet, again, at MAPTIA, or if you want to get in touch, send us an email to hello@maptia.com. and we will get back to you straight away.
Is there an L-A? H in that, or is it just E-L-L-O?
There is an H, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and maybe, you know, I could just add that, you know, the people who we want to help other people, you know, tell the stories that they want to tell, and, you know, also like not-for-profits and other organizations mm-hmm. to share their stories with a wider mm-hmm. audience. So if you are a writer or yep. a photographer or a storyteller...
Or the community manager, and you, exactly. and you want to have, like, amplify the kind of reach of your of these
yeah,
stories.
And you then. Want, you know, a really meaningful place for your stories to belong. It's not just, you know, another big publishing platform. And, you know, we'd love to, you know, love for you to get in touch with us. And we'd like to, you know, build Maptia with you. Because, you know, there's a lot we have planned, but, you know, most importantly of all, we hope it's going to be shaped by our community.
I think it's fantastic. And I look forward to the, like, the newer versions and just kind of where this goes. Because I really mm-hmm. do think when you're doing things from such an authentic place, and as painful as it may be to put so much of yourself into it and to do things the hard way, I think there's a lot of value in it. And I think it really does show in the product and in the communities and in the outcomes. And that was something that struck me with, like, the Story and Heart guys is this feels so authentic and so passionate that I think everything and everyone is sort of elevated because of it. So I think that's awesome. And if you could leave us with a thought, I guess, sort of about personal cartography. We got a bit away from that, like, general idea, but I think it was such a nice conversation, flowing conversation about Maptia and what you guys are doing. So I don't know. Could you just leave us with something that is really at the core of that? I mean, we're talking about the core a lot here, but at the core of the core of the core.
That probably sums up the leaving point quite well, in that we believe that the core is so, so important, and that's how we started, and that's the only thing we've always come back to, is always the core, is always the philosophies behind it and the reasons why we do it. And like you say, products are ephemeral. They come and go, and especially in the tech world, you need something to kind of cling on to and something to fall back on. And for us, that means always analyzing ourselves, knowing, you know, why we're doing this and what are the fundamental reasons that we want to create this. Mm-hmm. And
mm-hmm. yeah, and I think that ties in, you know, that, you know, our sort of philosophies, our values, our beliefs, those are the things that, you know, we've come back to and have sort of enabled us to keep going when things were difficult or uncertain mm-hmm. or we were feeling really, really vulnerable because we put ourselves out there and, you know, we didn't feel like we measured up and, you know, feeling like a fraud and a failure. And, you know, everybody who builds a startup feels like this. But, you know, I can't imagine how difficult it must be when, you know, for me, like, just, you know, trying to sell your startup, like, that's not a philosophy to fall back on and to get yourself, you know, truly motivated and, you know, out of that sort of dark, deep place if you, you know, fall into it while during the process of building your startup. And let's face it, you know, when you're building something meaningful and something, you know, where you're trying to build something, you know, big, that's bound to happen. And so for us, you know, having a mission and, you know, sharing that as well, like, all three of us really, you know, deeply believe the same things. And wherever that this journey takes us, you know, we'll always have that as a reference point, as a starting point. And it helps us with decision making on a daily basis, you know, and it helps us on an, you know, sort of a meta emotional level as well.
Yeah. There was this mentor meeting that I remember from Techstars really, really well with this guy called Rand Fishkin, who's the CEO of SEO Moz. Mm-hmm. And he said to us just before he left, he kind of smiled and he said, even if it doesn't work out, then it's probably going to be one hell of a story. Yeah. And that's kind of like just stuck with us throughout, because even if it does fail, then I think as long as we have kind of good story to tell and we've learned a lot along the way, then... Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the most important thing.
Right. I mean, honestly, it can't fail because it's exactly. like, you, yeah. no, really though, like that is,
no, it's true.
It's a way we behave. Hopefully. And I think it's what, something we, Vince and I put into the show and something I put into the ventures that I'm involved in. And it's like, it feels really good. It's like, I'm really scared, but it's like, I can't really fail. Like, I'm getting so much out of this no matter what, which is an incredible feeling. And I'm going to have to give a little bit of a plug to self-awareness. It sounds like that's what you guys were getting at there. I try and bring it up every show because I see it as like the crux of what we're talking about almost all the time.
Yep.
So that's lovely. Thank you guys for illustrating that for me.
And it was well said.
It was eloquent.
Man.
I know I'm sure it's cliche, but I love a good accent. You guys, I honestly think I like you more. Like, and your ideas sound better. It's not bad. I'm not. I mean, no. My eyes are up here, pal. Hey guys, thank you so much for coming on. It is truly a pleasure to speak with people who are so authentic, who give a shit, who are doing something that isn't what everyone else is doing. And not only that, but are doing something fucking generous. You know, that is kind of the crux of it. It is a generous act and a generous product. And I'm really excited to see where it goes. And I know Vince and I are going to try and do everything we can to support such a cool mission and such a cool team.
Wow. Thank you so much. That means a lot.
Yeah,
thank you.
Really appreciate it, man. Thank
could
you.
Could you guys sign us off here with a a Maptia ship bit?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, very appropriate.
3, 2, 1.
Ship it.